comes, your support in particular time of crises that may come 6 months from now, a year from now, 5 years from now. And many times as a result of not hearing that lesson that God had in store for you, you deal with particular situation, crises or whatever, in ways that jeopardize your soul. So we are sorry for those who could have and just felt probably that you had better things to do, or that the effort that needed to bring you here, you don't feel like you could put it out. Again, we are glad for all those who are here. The subject of praise and worship. The passages that were read this morning, taken from the book of 1 Peter chapter 2. I think I asked the brother to read from verse 2 through verse 5 in one instance, and in the other case from verse 9 through 10. Notice this with these two passages. In these two texts, the inspired writer is telling us one of the main reasons for which the Almighty God called us, and that is to worship. Worship is a responsibility of the child of God. Worship, it distinguishes us and it defines us. It tells who we are. Our attitude towards worship. You know, there's so much to be said in this lesson, because one of the first aspects of this lesson I want to deal with was taken from the book of 1 Kings chapter 2. We're not going to get there probably this month. That is to that text. It's where the Almighty God not only rebuked Eli, but spoke in these terms. Why did you kick against my sacrifice? And that is, why did you allow your sons to show the disrespect and the disregard towards worship? I want to, because that passage will be coming up, probably not in this lesson. But worship is something. You see, ladies and gentlemen, anything regarding the Almighty God is something that we should reverence. We should respect. Worship. Let us hear those two passages. Quick, brother.
As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word.
As newborn, when you have just become a Christian, and we have at least Brother Christie is also here. We have asked you to pray for Brother Christie, he and his wife, that he was in the hospital. As I looked down at the back, I saw him. He was baptized 2 weeks ago. Although Brother Christie is a mature person, in Christ, he is a newborn babe. And those who were baptized at the Mona congregation this morning, the Almighty God sees you as newborn babe in his family. You see, you are added to God's family. You are not a member of God's family because we place your name in a book. You are a part of God's family because you have obeyed the gospel of Christ. Now, as newborn babes,
desire the sincere milk of the word.
You should desire the sincere milk of the word.
That he
wait. It's important that you get this. That you should want to know the word of God. You should utilize every opportunity that avails itself to study and understand God's word. Read on.
That he may grow thereby.
That you, without the word, you cannot grow. Notice that the inspired writer likened the word to milk. That's right. Read on.
If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
And he is gracious. Read on.
To whom coming as unto a living stone.
Uh-huh.
Disallowed indeed of men,
uh-huh,
but chosen of God and precious.
What verse is that?
4.
Okay, step down. Wait, read on.
Ye also, as lively stones.
That's where I want you to get to, Brother Webb. We also, notice the we. You know who that is talking about? Christians, we also, as
lively stones, are built up a spiritual house.
We build up. We are the one who make up God's spiritual house. Read.
And holy priesthood.
We are an holy priesthood. I mean, every one of us, we are priests.
To offer up.
Wait, brother, take time. In Roman Catholicism, you have a person with his collar turned behind him. Huh? And he's supposed to be a priest. And that's the person in that man-made institution that you go and confess your sin to. That is not God's plan.
No, sir.
Every person here today who is a true child of God, you are a priest.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters.
Yes, that's right.
Read on.
To offer up.
Wait. Pick up the whole of that.
Ye also,
uh-huh,
as lively stones.
You also, you are not dead stone. Because you see, at one time you were dead in your trespasses and sin. But when you responded to Jesus' invitation, you now become, you are no more dead in trespasses and sin. You now become a living stone.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Are built up a spiritual house.
You comprise God's spiritual house.
And holy priesthood.
You are an holy priesthood. Now notice that there is a God-fixed purpose behind this. You are a holy priesthood.
To offer up.
To do what?
To offer up.
To do what?
Offer up.
To offer up. Huh? What?
Spiritual sacrifices.
Spiritual sacrifices. You know what? Now let's talk about worship. Mm-hmm. Worship. We were called to worship. The Almighty God forgave our sins. So that we could become a people who honor God, reverence God, glorify God, uplift His name in worship. That was verse 2 to verse 5. Step down to verse 9 to 10.
But you are a chosen generation.
Remember, the brothers just read from verse 2 to verse 5. Now he stepped down. Is Peter becoming senile? Because it's like he's talking up. Peter, you have just said the same thing. No, he wants to make sure you understand. And all about worship. Brothers and sisters, you see, when any worship time comes, you should not be there wondering if all the things at home are done and you have some spare time to give to God. No, sir.
No.
In the first place, God doesn't want that time if it is spare time. The time for worship should be set aside. Unless you have no control over that time. It should be set aside, and when that time comes, just like our offering, that's an act of worship. When we work and we use up all our funds to do our business and what, and then if any left over, we said, well, you know, I can give this a church. Brothers, the church may accept that, but God doesn't. Read, brother.
But ye are a chosen generation.
You are a chosen generation.
A royal priesthood.
Now, he's not reading, well, in a sense, the same thing, but it's a different passage. You have your Bible. The brother read a few minutes ago, verse 2 to verse 5. Now he's way down at verse 9 and 10. And the inspired writer, well, we are saying Peter, the Holy Ghost in Peter. Find that this is so important that it need be repeated. Read.
A royal priesthood.
A royal priesthood.
And holy nation.
A holy nation.
A peculiar people.
You are a peculiar people.
That ye should shew forth.
That you should show forth.
The praises of him.
The praises of him.
Who has called you out of
who
darkness.
Called you. That's the reason. One of the reasons we are called to be God's children. To reverence, to honor God, to worship God, to uplift God's name in worship. Don't deprive God of that. Worship. We ended last week that the word worship is a verb. You remember? It's important to understand the implication in that when the Bible, when Jesus Christ, for example, in the book of St. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 says that God is a spirit.
God is a spirit.
And they who worship him
must worship him in spirit.
Worship him in spirit and in truth. Here in this passage, the word worship is used as a verb. That the word is a verb, it tells us one. It is something a person does. It is a word expressing action or activity. Are we there? Or an expression. But watch here. The action that the word worship expresses is not to the worshiper. Huh? The action that is inerrant in the word worship being a verb is that the action must be expressed toward God.
Amen.
Always.
Amen.
In fact, notice this when you read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. When worship is under consideration, notice the word to are and to. Very important. Worship must be directed never toward the worshiper, but toward God. Huh? But toward God. And you can make a study of these two words throughout the Bible. To or unto. I usually use as illustration. This morning we'll be taking the Lord's Supper. We'll be drinking the fruit from the vine. We don't do that because we like it. Jesus Christ dictates that is what it should be. We'll be eating something. If you are not a member, it may pass you and you may say, this look like ordinary crackers. It's not ordinary crackers. It's unleavened bread. Many of us would prefer a piece of bun or a piece of hard dough bread. But you see, when it comes to worshiping God, we have no option in that. Christ dictates what goes on his table. Take, for example, the grape juice. When you drink that grape juice in remembrance of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, one, it is worship. Two, God is pleased. Three, if God pleases, he will bless you. Turn it around now. You take that very same grape juice and drink it to quench your thirst, and it has no spiritual benefit or meaning. Well, somebody said, Brother Mitchell, suppose I drink it in commemoration of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and at the same time to quench my thirst. You are in problem with God there. That's right. You talk about conflict of interest. It was never meant to be drunk. That is, if it is being used in commemoration of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, your thirst should never come in the picture. That's right. When we are worshiping God, we are worshiping God. So as I say, that the word worship is a verb. The action or expression implied in the word worship is never, that is the action or expression that is implied in the word worship, is never toward the worshiper, but always toward God.
Amen.
whenever that action or expression is rendered thinking of man, it ceases to be worship.
That's right.
It ceases to be worship. There is so much to be covered, but as I said, we still have this lesson being addressed now and another lesson. To tell you the truth, what I'm about to touch on now, I have been thinking, what part of the lesson should I deal with that now, or should I deal with that aspect later? Because there's some important thing about worship we want to get into. You know, I want to share with you one or two quotations about people, this lady who had not attended service for some while, and then she decided to attend worship. But the reason she decided to attend, we may get to that today, I'm not sure. But ladies and gentlemen, let me get to this now. Acceptable worship to God can take place only in Jesus Christ. Somebody asked, Brother Mitchell, can you express that another way so that I can understand? Thank you for asking me. Acceptable worship to God can be given only by a man or woman who is in a right relationship with God. Can you express it another way, Brother Mitchell? Yes. Only a Christian can worship God acceptably. Can you express it yet another way, Mr. Mitchell? Yes. True worship cannot be done outside of the body of Jesus Christ. That is a fact. That is a fact. Let us look now. We are going to, including the two passages that were read this morning, we are going to look on that. Acceptable worship calls for a proper spiritual relationship with the Almighty God. You must be in a right relationship with God before you can worship the Almighty God. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10 through 16. But even before that, let us start with the Old Testament. Let us run to the book of Exodus, chapter 30, verse 17 to about verse 20. Let us hear it. And why we are going there is to show you that even in the Old Testament, the Almighty God establishes that acceptable worship, sin must be dealt with before you can worship. Let us turn to the passage of Exodus chapter 30 and verse 17 following.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying,
Thou shalt also make a laver of brass.
You shall make a laver of brass.
And his foot also
Not
of brass.
Brother, you know, now and again I discover that I need this. And normally, probably it's because my drawing is so pretty, why Mavis let it stay there so long. That's right. It must be that. But so many times I needed to illustrate and I find that they have not erased it. Because normally I put something like this on the board and after I finish preaching, it is erased. Might be God's will that it be kept here. That's right. Now let us hear it, brother.
Thou shalt also make a lava of brass.
Now shall make a lava. You notice this is like a bathtub. Huh? Huh? That's right. That's the lava. Read on.
And his foot also of brass.
His foot also of brass.
To wash withal.
To wash withal.
And thou shalt put it between the tabernacle of the congregation.
This is the tabernacle of the congregation.
And the altar.
And this is the altar where the animal were burned.
And thou shalt put water therein.
You must put water in the big wash basin.
For Aaron and his sons.
It is built for Aaron and his sons. They were the priests. Brother Mitchell, say more. Thank you for asking me. They were the ones who offered worship on behalf of the Israelites. They offered worship to God. The tabernacle was the center of worship activity. It doesn't mean that worship did not take place outside, but the most of the essential worship took place in the tabernacle. The Almighty God says, build this big bathtub called a lava. It must be built for the priests, Aaron
and his son.
And his son
shall wash their hands and
but
their
you know, they shall wash their hands
and their feet thereat.
And their feet thereat mean at there. Read.
When they go into the tabernacle of the congregation.
When they go into here. But watch here how important it is. Read.
They shall wash with water.
They shall wash with water.
That they die not.
Did I hear you right, brother?
They shall wash with water that they die not.
You sure that is there?
Yes, sir.
So, but Brother Blake, this washing was no optional thing.
Amen. Amen.
It was imperative that they wash. That they die not. Watch here. Read a little more, brother.
Or when they come near to the altar, the minister, the burnt offering made by fire unto the Lord.
What verse is that?
End of 20.
Well, stop here. Ladies and gentlemen, before the priest could go inside here for worship, are we there? They had to wash themselves outside. Are we there? Do we get it? Now, this was a type of the church. This was a type of the church. And the Almighty God was setting it down that before men and women can come in the church, the body of Christ, where they will spend the rest of their lives as worshiping people, they must be cleansed by the blood of Christ. They must be washed in watery grave of baptism. And that if they are not washed, they cannot worship, repent and worship God. Are we there? So now that that is established in from the Old Testament, let us look now at the passage of Hebrews chapter 13, 10 through verse 16. What point are you on, Brother Mitchell? That worship acceptable worship is not possible outside of a proper relationship with God. Acceptable worship is not possible if you are not a child of God. Wait. I'm not here saying that the person may not engage in some activity that the person thinks that they are worshiping or called worship. In fact, I may just throw this out here now. You might take me to the Bible and show me people of whom it is said they worship. Lydia. That's right. What? When you find these passages, look if there's anything there that tell you that God accepted their worship. If they were not Christians. Huh? May I further add to that? This is why the Bible speaks about vain worship. This is why the Bible speaks about ignorant worship. This is why the Bible speaks about will worship. Wait, all those are worship offered by men and women, but they are not acceptable to God. The one worship acceptable to God is true worship, of which Jesus Christ spoke in the book of St. John chapter 4, 23 and 24. So you see, the Bible, God's inspired word, speaks of four different kinds of worship. Of the four, only one is acceptable worship. So that you read in the Bible that some person was worshiping, it doesn't necessarily mean that that worship was accepted by God. Now, where did we? Hebrews chapter 10.
13 verse 10.
Read on.
We have an altar.
We have an altar.
Whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle.
Wonderful passage. I wonder if you get what I get. We, the Christian, have an altar. But those who are still living by the Mosaical system, they do not have any right to our altar. Oh my God. No, I can't believe that. You know what it is saying? If you are not embracing the truth, if you are a Jew that was still living according to the Old Testament system, if you are a Jew who have not accepted Jesus Christ, wait, you believe in God, you know. That's why you are still offering the Old Testament sacrifice. Read it again. Somebody didn't hear it.
We have an altar.
We, that is we, God's people, the Christian members of the Church of Christ. We have an altar.
Whereof?
Whereof?
They.
They
have no right.
Have no right to this altar. To eat.
Which serve the tabernacle.
That's right. Those who are serving according to the Old Testament system, they do not have any access to Jesus Christ. Because they do not believe in, they are still holding on to the Old Testament system. That's right. Read on, brother.
For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sins are burned without the camp.
Read on.
Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood.
Suffered, that he may sanctify the people with his own blood. Read on.
Suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore.
Notice
unto him.
The austere is referring to the Christians. Let us, God's people, go forth.
Unto him without the camp.
Unto Jesus Christ outside of the camp.
Bearing his reproach.
Bearing his reproach. Read on.
For here we have no continuing city.
Now the passage is speaking to Christians. It is speaking to men and women who realize that this life and this earth is not our permanent abode.
Amen.
But we have no continuing state. Read on.
But we seek one to come.
It is speaking to men and women who are seeking the home that Jesus Christ has gone to prepare. Read on.
By him therefore.
By Jesus Christ therefore.
Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God.
Wait. You know this? The us here, is referring to Christian. Only Christian can offer the sacrifice of praise. You will hear me repeating this throughout the lesson. That all that man does outside of Jesus Christ, all the religious things that any person does outside of Jesus Christ, it is of no worth spiritually. That's right, spiritually and eternally. Once it is done outside of Jesus Christ, it matters not how deeply religious that man or woman is. For it to have spiritual meaning and eternal meaning, it must be done in Christ. Read, brother.
Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually.
They us, only Christian can offer the sacrifice of praise continually.
That is.
What is the sacrifice of praise?
The fruit of our lips.
Everybody hear that? Everybody hear that? The sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lips.
Giving thanks.
Not the guitar string. Not the organ. Not the piano. Not Bob Marley band. It must be the fruit. You notice how specific the Bible is? You notice? The sacrifice of praise is the fruit of our lip. It is what our lip produce. You can't miss that. What verse is that, brother?
That's 15. Giving read. Thanks to his name.
Read.
But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased.
Everybody here? Everybody here? So, ladies and gentlemen, it is those who are sanctified. You might not have been noticing the 3, 4, 5 verses. It is those who are sanctified that can worship. It is those who are bearing Christ's reproach that can offer sacrifice of praise. It is those who are seeking for another city that can worship God. Am I there? Are you there? Let us look at another passage. What we are looking on, and I'm not sure we may spend the whole period looking on the fact that only a true child of God can offer worship that is acceptable to God. The man or woman that is outside of Jesus Christ cannot. That person is too far. Truly. We are going to go to a passage which tells, show the difference between those who are far and those who are near. That's right. Let us turn now to another passage. And that is one of the passages that was read this morning. Let us look at 1 Peter. Chapter 2, verse 2 to verse 7.
As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming, as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also are like
You also as lively stones
are built spiritual house.
You built up a spiritual house.
And holy priesthood. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.
May I? Look now. You have your Bible. Either you look on these verses or you listen. One. It is the newborn babe who can offer the sacrifice. That is, men and women who have been baptized. It is men and women who have gotten into union with Christ and therefore value the word of God like a baby desire milk. Those are the ones who can worship God. Are we there? It is those who are called or considered by God to be living stone. Huh? Who can offer worship to God? It is those who are part of Jesus' spiritual body, spiritual house, that can offer worship to God. It is those who make of Christ priesthood that can offer sacrifice to God. Are we there? Sacrifice that are acceptable to God. May I look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 through verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2.
For we are his workmanship.
We are his workmanship. Is it Brother Blake reading?
Yes.
Brother Blake, the we there is referring to Christian.
Amen.
That's right. Watch here now. What we are doing this morning is to show that men who are not followers, true followers of Christ, men and women who have not obeyed the gospel of Christ, that is, having been taught the basic first principle truth of the gospel, believe it. As a result of believing it, they decided they're going to repent and get baptized with a resolve to follow Christ. Those are the ones who can offer up to God acceptable worship. The thousands of men out there, the millions that are wrongly led religiously, cannot offer up spiritual worship. Read the passage, brother.
We are his workmanship.
We are his workmanship.
Created in Christ Jesus.
Wait, this is the new creation, huh? This is the new creation. Huh? What the passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17 says? If any man, is it that's the passage, if any man
be in Christ,
he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Huh? Behold, all things have become new. Only when you are this new man can you offer up acceptable worship to God. So what the passage you're reading says, brother?
Created in Christ Jesus.
Created in Christ Jesus.
Unto good works.
Unto good works.
Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them.
We should walk in the good work. Read on.
Wherefore. Remember.
Okay, I like this. Remember. It's a good thing to let our memory be used in a moral sense. In a good sense. Remember.
That he being in time past.
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen. I always like this passage. I always like this passage. In time past. Are we there? In time past. Watch here now. Brother Mitchell, what does it mean in time past? When they were not Christian. Are we there? When they were not Christian. Remember that you, the Ephesians, when you were not Christian. When was that, Paul? In time past.
Read. Gentiles in the flesh.
You were Gentiles in the flesh.
Who are called uncircumcision.
Wait, brother. You were Gentiles. Uh-huh. Two. You are called
uncircumcision.
Circumcised. Uh-huh.
By that which is called the circumcision in flesh, made by hands.
Uh-huh.
That at that time.
At that time, ladies and gentlemen, if you are here today and if you are not a child of God, this passage is telling you how you are seen by God now. Not how your neighbor sees you. Not how your co-worker sees you. Not how members of your family sees you. The passage is telling you how you stand in the sight of your Creator right now if you are not a child of God. At that time,
you were without Christ.
You were without, take time with me, brother. W-I-T-H-O-U-T, without Christ. Uh-huh.
Being aliens from the commonwealth of
Three,
Israel.
We understand, four rather. We understand, A-L-I-A-N. We understand this word, don't we? Because we are migrating people. We travel a lot. Huh? And even though under present administration in the U.S., you might not be so eager. But normally Jamaicans want their green card. You know why? It allows you to some of the benefits there. Huh? You see, alien. That means you do not have access to some of the blessings. Are we right? Do you know that the word is used same way in the Bible? When you are not Christian, you are an alien. That was 4:5. Uh-huh. Read.
Commonwealth of and strangers.
You are strangers
from the covenant of
promise.
From
the covenant of promise. Wait. All of God's promise in Jesus Christ. The promise of forgiveness of sin. The promise of sonship and daughtership. The promise of union and fellowship with God. The promise of eternal life. The promise of continual cleansing. You are not exposed to that. Wait! The promise of answered prayer.
Amen.
What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? The Bible tells us that God does not hear the prayer of sinner. That's right. And it's not just one passage. There are passages from Old to New Testament. You're a stranger from the covenant of promise.
Having no hope.
You have, wait, that is number 6. You have no hope. Huh? No hope.
And without God in the world.
You are without God in the world. Now, how you are without God? How do you expect to worship God if you are without Him? That's right. You talk about God, hear your prayer. Here God is saying you are without God. That's right. But notice now, I like verse, you stop at verse 12?
End of 12.
Now, I like verse 13, Brother Blake.
But now.
But now.
In Christ Jesus.
Where?
In Christ Jesus.
Where?
In Christ Jesus.
Everything changed in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
I mean everything changed in Christ Jesus. And somebody's asking the question, Mr. Mitchell, how do I get there? Thank you for asking that question. Great question you have asked. But now in Christ Jesus.
You who sometimes.
Time with me. Who you were.
You who.
Great brother. Wrong with this thing. You who were sometimes
were afar off.
Afar. Well, let me capitalize all of them. That's right. You're a country people, Brother Blake. Well, you're a countryman. They don't say far, they say four. That's right. You're far from God. But when you become obedient to the gospel, hear the truth, repent of your sin, confess Christ's name, and get baptized with a resolution to follow Christ, then you are no more far, but you are.
But are made nigh.
Made nigh.
By the blood of. By the blood
by
of
the
Christ.
By the blood of Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that does it. Huh? What is the point? You cannot offer worship if you are not in Jesus Christ. No, notice the third word in verse 13. What is it, brother?
Christ. In.
In Christ. Are we there? May I? Brothers and sisters, look at Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6. Galatians 4 and verse 6.
And because ye are sons.
Because you are sons.
God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba Father.
How can you cry, Abba Father? Because you are son. That implies sons and daughters. But suppose you are not a son or a daughter. You cannot say poopa poopa or daddy daddy. Only because you are son, you can call upon him. Yeah. That's the implication of the text, you know. Yeah. That only God's children who have access to God's spiritual blessing. Wait. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. This is why the Bible teaches us that He sends rain both on the just and on the unjust. The Almighty God loves you. It's just that there are certain, well, let me, all spiritual blessings are to be obtained in Jesus Christ. They cannot be obtained outside of Christ. Is it that we like it that way? No, that's the way God fixes it. All spiritual blessings, including worshiping God. Let me wrap up now. As I said, sin must be dealt with. May I? I have pointed this out many times. For the Almighty God, God will not accept your worship until it is first, it must be you, then yours. Very important that we understand this principle. Before God will accept what is yours, you must give Him you.
Amen.
That is a fact. That travel from Old to New Testament. Let me give you one or two passages on that. Let us look at Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11 through 16. Quick, brother. Time gone.
To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?
Wait. Are you following us? Please do, because the sermon is coming down to its end. The Almighty God commanded sacrifice. Am I right? That is worship. Huh? The Almighty God, as if it were, is almost saying to the Israelites, Don't worry, bring your sacrifice. Because you have abandoned my law, you are doing your own thing. The sacrifice is of no use. You see, it comes right back. It must be you, then yours. And the rich, foolish man, when he died, our God was about to take him, God did not say, tonight your house and land and money is required of you. Your soul. That must be given to God first. Yes. Then he will accept the other thing. Don't come thinking you worship. You think you do, but God does not accept it. Listen to him speak to the Israelites. Mm-hmm.
To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me?
What purpose is your many worship, your sacrifices unto me?
Saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord.
I am full of the burnt offerings of rams.
Uh-huh.
And the fat of fed beasts.
Uh-huh.
And I delight not in the blood of bullocks.
God says, I have no pleasure in your young male sheep or cow. I have no pleasure in them.
Blood of bullocks or of lambs or of he-goats.
Uh-huh.
When you come to appear before me.
When you come before me.
Who hath required this at your hand?
Who asked you for this of your hand? The implication here, you know, is that God wants you before yours. Read on.
To tread my courts.
Uh-huh.
Bring no more vain.
You notice, brother? And you know, the New Testament talks about vain worship. Here you have it in the Old Testament too. God says, bring no more vain
oblation.
Read.
Incense is an abomination unto me.
It is abomination
unto me.
Unto God.
The new moons.
Wait. This is talk about the monthly Sabbath. The new moon
and Sabbaths.
And that is talk about the weekly Sabbath. And Sabbaths.
The calling of assemblies.
Uh-huh.
I cannot away with.
God says, I don't want them. Do away with them. Read on.
It is iniquity.
Even your solemn meeting. Read, brother. Your new moons. And your appointed fees. My soul hate. Can you believe that? Seems as if your mic not working, brother. They are troubling to me. You are not finished, brother, please. Read on. I will tell the audience what you are reading. Uh-huh. I am weary, but Mr. Mitchell, wasn't it that God commanded these things through Moses? Yes! But the Israelites were not committing themselves to God. They were mechanically taking these things to God. Read on, brother, a little more. Wait. You know, this is one of the passages in the Old Testament which shows that God does not respond to the prayer of sinners. When you stretch forth your hands, that is in prayer now. When they raise their hand praying to God, God says, I will hide my eyes from you. Read.
Yea. When ye make many prayers, I
will
not hear.
One prayer.
Many prayers.
Many prayers.
I will not hear.
I will not hear.
Your hand.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. You tell us that God answered your prayer. Well, the Bible says, let God be true and every man be a liar. God is speaking here, telling us that there are certain prayers he does not answer. And he's going to show you something here. Read on, brother. Uh-huh. You notice this? It is sin that hinders prayer. Read on. Wash you. Wait, brother. Get baptized. So that God can deal with your sin. You notice the Almighty God is telling them that all yours that you are giving, I don't want them. I want you, so you get clean. You wash, you repent, you turn to God. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Stop doing evil. Stop, dear brother. You know, time has gone. There's so much, you know, this passage that we quote so many times. Romans chapter, don't read it, brother. You know, because we must use Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable. The word service there is also translated worship. And what the passage is saying, first give yourself before you can give worship. Deal with your sin before you can give worship. So only a child of God who can worship the Almighty God. Sin must first be dealt with before God will accept what we give. Ladies and gentlemen, we must end this part of the lesson here. Now, may I? God's willing, next week we'll be getting into some very important, you notice I don't say much about praise and worship today. Next week, I'll be asking, probably I'll begin the lesson with three questions. What do you come to worship to get? Question two, what do you come to worship to receive? Question three, what does God want or expect from worship? The lot of the things about praise and worship will be coming up in next week's lesson. I beg for your own enlightenment that you be here. We'll be looking on people, quoting from their words, contemporaries of ours, men and women who are alive now, that will tell you, when I go to worship, this is what I want. In other words, the primary thing is not God, is what they want. But you're going to learn that the primary thing in worship is what God wants. That's why we are to come out to worship not ourselves but God. Not to be entertained but to worship. Lot of the worship going on around in the various man-made churches, they are nothing but entertainment. Those worship are not acceptable to God. If you are here this morning, if you have listened and learned, if you recognize that you are not a child of God, Jesus Christ is offering mercy, grace, forgiveness, His love, fellowship with Him. Only ask that you submit your life to His guidance, to His shepherding. True. believing in Him as the Son of God. That's the first step after having been taught. True repenting of your sin, making a resolution that you will turn from sin. Wait. Did you know that much of the sin men commit is accepting false religious teaching? You have to repent from that too. Repent of your sin. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, you must confess faith in Christ. And you must be baptized. But somebody said, Mr. Mitchell, I was sprinkled. Now what that does, that qualifies you to be a member of a man-made church. It does not meet God's condition. Because Bible's baptism is immersion. It's a burial in water. In that process, you unite with Jesus Christ. So you can come today. Come believing. Come repenting. Come confessing Christ's name. Come submitting yourself to be baptized for the removal of your sin. As